Normally we would do a moment of silence now, but we're going to do a meditation after the homily. So just mixing things up a little bit, like to keep you all on your toes. George Saunders, who's an acclaimed novelist and Booker Prize-winning author of the book Lincoln in the Bardo, has emerged lately as a bit of a kindness guru. Started in 2013 with a commencement speech he delivered at Syracuse University that went viral and was then reprinted in its entirety in the New York Times. In his speech, Saunders told the class of 2013 that the failures that he most regrets in his life are his failures of kindness, times when he could have been kind to another person, but he didn't. He related the story about a new girl in his seventh grade class who was shy and a little bit odd, so she was ignored by most of the students, teased by some others. Saunders admits he was never mean to her and thinks maybe he even defended her at times, but he recognizes now what a difference he could have made in her life if he had actually befriended her. He describes failures of kindness as those moments when another human being was there in front of me suffering, and I responded sensibly, reservedly, mildly. Or he says, to look at it from the other end of the telescope, who in your life do you remember most fondly with the most undeniable feelings of warmth? Those who were kindest to you. With all that's going wrong in the world these days, acting kindly can be a little step towards making it better. The smallest act can make someone else's day and make us feel better about ourselves. Through such acts, we help to balance out all the bad stuff that's going on. Small acts of kindness make up to a kinder world for all of us. Some of you might remember about 40 years ago, the phrase random acts of kindness emerged, encouraging small acts like feeding a stranger's expired parking meter or letting someone go ahead of you in the checkout line, complimenting someone on something that they're good at. There is now actually a Random Acts of Kindness Foundation, and of course there's a Random Acts of Kindness Day. It's actually coming up this month on February 17th. The foundation's goal is to make kindness the norm. They contend that small acts of kindness reconnect us with our humanity, remind us of the love in the world, and inspire us to pay such kindness forward. Another group encourages one kind act a day, encourages each person to do one kind act a day. Its stated goal is to honor, recognize, and celebrate the inherent good in people, and to cultivate one of the most important gifts of all, our faith in humanity and our belief in a better, kinder future for all people all over the world. Both organizations exist to help people learn to be kind and to build kindness into our daily life. But why is this something we have to learn? Why is it so hard to be kind? Humans have a more developed sense of altruism than other species do. Scientists have pointed out that humans often care for other people's children. We see this in some primates, but it is more common in humans than in any other species. We even care for other species. Think about how well we treat our pets, injured birds, other animals, the wonderful work that Carol and her staff do at Tamarack with other species who need to be cared for. So if it's in our nature to care for others, why do we have these failures of kindness, as Saunders calls them? Admitting that he too struggles to be kind, Saunders notes that we fail to show kindness in part because we are each the center of our own universe. To see another person's need and act to address it takes effort. We may fail to do that when we're in a hurry or absorbed with our own concerns. We live in the most individualistic society in the history of the world. Our consumer culture directs us to look out for ourselves, so we may need to cultivate the ability to recognize opportunities for kindness. Failures of kindness may also be due to how independently we live. more so than our ancestors did or than indigenous cultures around the world, cultures in which the well-being of all relies on caring for each other. South African cultures have a concept called Ubuntu, which expresses that interdependence. It literally means, I am because we are. We exist in an interconnected state. In such cultures, caring for each other means everyone thrives. No one has to go it alone. But in our society, we are raised to be self-sufficient, independent. So we're not trained to look out for the needs of others or to ask for help when we need it. We may also be stopped sometimes by fear. Jessica Lowe founded the nonprofit Be a Little Too Kind. Jessica is a chef in Salt Lake City who provides around 100 hot homemade meals and an equal number of sack lunches every Thursday to unhoused persons in her city. The first time she packed up leftover food from her culinary school and offered it to a couple of kind of rough-looking men on the street, she admits that she was shaking all over and her legs felt like jello. She wasn't sure how she would be received. But their gratitude immediately broke down any barriers, and they saw each other as people. One of the tragic consequences of a time of deep division like the one we're currently experiencing is that neighbors are portrayed as our enemies. Political leaders cultivate fear of those who do not share our beliefs or political views. They strip away our shared humanity and denounce political foes as a danger to democracy, diminishing our tendency then to show kindness to people that we don't know. They make us afraid of each other. In videos that recorded the recent shooting in Minneapolis, Alex Preddy appeared to be helping another demonstrator who had fallen or been pushed to the ground when the federal officers surrounded him. But because of the prevailing rhetoric or their training or their own fear, the officers saw Alex Preddy as a threat when it appeared that he was simply extending an act of kindness to someone else in the middle of a chaotic situation. We need to make sure that kindness is not a casualty of those who seek to make us enemies of each other, that we on the left and we on the right remember that few of us are the demons that we see portrayed in the media. We are all people trying to get through challenging times and who are grateful for even small acts of kindness. As we seek to cultivate kindness, the world's religions have teachings that can help us. A popular verse from the Hebrew prophet Micah comes at the end of a passage that claims God does not want elaborate sacrifices like burnt offerings of our finest calf, 10,000 rivers of olive oil, not even our firstborn, as Micah says, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. Instead, what God requires of us is that we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. No showy sacrifice is necessary, just the humility that allows us to see and respond to the needs of others. Our UU principles affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person and encourage us to treat others with respect. Our principles also affirm justice, equity, and compassion, and our interdependence, that sense of connectedness that we've lost in our culture. In all human relations, we are to treat each other with respect and kindness, even brief passing encounters with strangers. At heart, most religions put consideration and kindness towards others above showy displays of piety. So it's not surprising that almost every world religion has a belief that resembles the golden rule: treat others as you would like to be treated. Or as George Saunders told the 2013 Syracuse grads, remember the people who were kindest to you, then show others that same kindness. Tibetan Buddhism gives us deeply developed teachings on kindness, specifically loving kindness, which is called metri in Sanskrit or metta in Pali. This is a form of meditation to cultivate compassion for others. The Buddhist nun Pema Chodron writes that cultivating the limitless qualities of loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity helps to dissolve barriers between us that perpetuate suffering. In loving kindness meditation, we first wish for ourselves those qualities. We then extend that wish to those close to us, then to others we know, and finally to those people who we may find difficult. This practice helps us see our own suffering and that of others, and to cultivate a compassionate response. So in a moment when we have an opportunity to be kind, we don't let that impulse harden into fear or discomfort. Because we have practiced compassion and equanimity, we are able to respond with kindness. It's not surprising that George Saunders has found Buddhism helpful in his own efforts to be kind. For him, the practice of mindfulness has created an awareness that helps him to be present in the moment to the needs of another person, and to see himself as separate from any feelings of resistance that may prevent him from acting. In my sermon prep, I found many, many stories of kindness, so I could go on for a long time, but I'm not going to. Instead, we're going to do a short loving kindness meditation. But before we do, I encourage you, in the midst of all this bad news, to keep an eye out for stories about people who show kindness. You can find those on the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation or the One Kind Act a Day website, but also the Hidden Brain podcast, My Unsung Hero. You might hear that sometimes on National Public Radio. Each episode reveals what the news ignores. It says, everyday acts of kindness that encourage that transformed someone's life. Recent episodes have described small gestures like a stranger whose hug convinced a recently divorced woman that she could complete a mountain hike all the way to the top by herself. Other stories describe life-changing actions, like the man who remembers wandering away from his family's campground when he was 6 years old, being lost overnight by a lakeside. His unsung hero was the volunteer of a search team who found him the next morning, another camper who volunteered to go out looking for this little boy, then carried that little boy on his shoulder several miles to safety. These stories don't make the mainstream news, but they can make someone else's day and can even change or save someone's life. When Renee Macklin Good's brothers testified before Congress this week, one of them quoted Gandalf from the Lord of the Rings series. I found out the line is not actually written by Tolkien, but it was spoken by Ian McKellen, who portrayed Gandalf in the Hobbit movies. Whatever its source, it encourages us to continue countering corrosive power with positive action. In the words of Gandalf, some believe it is only great power that can hold evil in check, but it is not what I have found. It is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love. May it be so. Amen.